jest Robert, Name of the National Assembly, required that if the chairperson of the committee is absent or unable to perform the functions of the chairperson, the committee must elect another of its members as the acting chairperson. Okay, Honorable Kekana, your hand is up.
By the secretary that some of the colleagues will join us to ensure that we have a quorum. They are at liberty now to do the same for the other committee, the portfolio committee of communication. And after that, they will be more than welcome to be part and parcel of the colleagues. We thank you very much. We appreciate your. The one is from the chairperson of the portfolio committee, Honorable Timon Rabilani. He extended a formal apology, excusing himself from this meeting due to threat in committee. The second apology is from the whip of the firm, Honorable Makubela. Is also unable to be part and parcel of this meeting due to pressing commitment. He has illness in the family operation. We've got an apology from the Deputy Minister, Honorable Barbara Thompson, who is unable to be with us due to ill health. Okay, and then you've got an apology from the member, honorable member of this committee, Honorable Hilan Yambi, who is also unable to attend due to pressing commitments. We know our minister is concerned in all the portfolio committee meetings, but we have just received an apology from the minister that due to other meetings, she is unable to attend. Portfolio committee. Those are all the apologies that we have received. Okay. And then it has just been brought to my attention that Sangaliso has got an apology from the chairperson of the board who is unable to attend due to poverty. Colleagues, those are the apologies that we have received. I hope and trust that we will be able to accept it. Yes, Bogart. Honorable, yes.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Excellent, Chairperson. I would like to ask one aspect of this meeting. If I look at the members present in this meeting, I only see four members. I hear that you've got apologies. Procedurally, are we correct to continue with this meeting? I just want to check if we are correct and can continue with the meeting. Any resolution that we take or any decision that we took, we will take today, will not be sort of like be subject to litigation or anything of that nature. Now, to be declared null and void because if the meeting was not correct yet. I just want to check that if there are no problems.
Well, it's unfortunate, Honorable Member, that you arrived late. That matter was attended to earlier on. As you understand, there are provisions within the rules that in the event that the portfolio committee is unable to correct, we can make use of members from other portfolio committees. So that process was in effect for the sake of the meeting to proceed. But given the fact that today we are not expecting any voting on any contentious issue, so that matter will be taken care of. Because we are dealing basically with presentations, two presentations, so there will be no voting on any substantial matter. However, your concern is taken on board and you are clarified. Is there any other matter of clarity from honorable members before we proceed? Thank you very much. Colleagues, as I indicated, this is our second meeting of the year. So we will not be introducing each other, we know each other. So without wasting time, because we are already behind schedule, the secretary has just advised me that by 12 sharp, we should vacate the venue. So I hope and trust we'll be able to do justice to the agenda as set out. Without wasting time, we'll hand over to Sanpak for their presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, just for clarity, I didn't want to intervene when we are approving the agenda. we came here at Sandbox to do two presentations. The second quarter performance plus briefing the Committee on Wildlife Crime. Now this morning we see another agenda where the wildlife crime briefing is omitted. We brought officials here who are going to be briefing the committee on that. We just want clarity. Thank you. Before I hand over to the board member of Sandbox.
Okay, you will know that the correspondence is handled between the Secretariat and the respective officers. So it's proper and fair that the Secretariat of the Portfolio Committee explain to what you achieved.
Thank you. I've given from 9:45 to 11:30 to cover that presentation as well. It came yesterday. So by the time I did that agenda on Friday, it was not today. But in terms of time, I've accommodated for it.
So the matter is certified now. Thanks, Secretary. Over to Sanpa. I don't know if the CEO is going to be there. Okay, thanks. Over to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Beryl Ferguson. I'm a member of the Board of Directors for Sandfast, and I'm also the Chairperson of the Human Capital Management Committee. We'd like to extend an apology from our Board Chairperson. She has other engagements today. However, she has been, and our office has been in talks with the Chairperson for a meeting in March. I would like to express to the Honourable Members that the Board of Sandparks is taking its accounting authority and oversight responsibilities very seriously and has introduced a process whereby the three board committees and the board scrutinizes Sandparks' performance against the predetermined targets quarterly. The board has already started to engage on the third quarter's report, and I'm happy to report that many of the areas of concern that will be presented here in the second quarter's report have improved. In terms of quarter two report, the board expressed its appreciation to management for meeting and exceeding the 70% target set. I'm happy to report that initial indications are that this has increased to 77% in quarter three. We were especially pleased with a substantially higher than targeted year-on-year growth in overnight local black visitors, showing that the efforts we are putting in transforming our visitor profile are paying off. It also demonstrates that we need to substantially increase our ambition in this regard and update our product accordingly. The general year-on-year increase in tourism numbers and revenue growth in this regard, in spite of difficult economic times, is noteworthy. The increased success in terms of dealing with environmental crime, including rhino poaching, is also heartening. Continued implementation of conservation and scientific work of high quality has been demonstrated. The board has, however, expressed concerns about the following: the slow progress of reaching gender and disability targets, changes in funding and late approval of business plans for various EPW programs. We have, however, noted a marked improvement in quarter three in this regard. The slow progress of cultural and historic sites management strategic plans, and especially the following areas that have been attributed to capacity constraints: legal opinions, skills development programs. This concern is further emphasized by HR costs that exceeded for the period under review the financial limit set and the higher than targeted vacancy rate. The board has been informed that the overspend is largely attributed to the implementation of the equal pay for work of equal value requirements. And that stems from the 2014 amendment to the Labour Relations Act and our overtime associated with the fight against environmental crime. The board has been assured that this overspend will be funded through operational savings and will not result in the overall deficit. The board would like to thank this committee for its support in the critical work of Sandparks, and would like to assure the committee that both the board and management are committed to the mandate given to us and are working tirelessly to ensure delivery to our people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for those remarks.
We hand over to our CEO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and the board members are taking the Over to you, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm accompanied today by my colleagues, the Chief Operating Officer, Ms. Liza McCourt, in that chair there. Next to her, there's the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Raj Mahapir. Next to Raj, there's Mr. Lucas Zeppe, who's the head of the CEO's office. And then behind the COO there, there's retired Major General Yoste, who is leading our special projects, especially around wildlife crime. Next to him is Mr. Nicholas Funda, who is the Chief Ranger in the Kruger National Park. Chair has indicated that we are doing our second quarter report for now. The outline of my presentation will be vision mission. I won't waste time on that one, but there's been no changes. Performance reporting framework as the presidency guideline, stand the cities. Our strategy map, stand the cities. I will focus more today on item 4, our performance dashboard, and also our financial performance for the quarter reporting. Just to say in the mission, because it's very important that our mandate is to develop, expand, manage, and promote a system of national parks so that we can sustain them in order to represent the biodiversity and heritage asset of the country. We want to do this through innovation, best practice for the just and equitable benefit of current and future generations. In terms of our performance, under Strategic Objective 1 is about improving representative conservation estate of the country. We agreed that we want to expand our national parks or our conservation estate. We have an annual target there of 1,387 hectares for the year reporting. We had a target for the quarter whereby we said we would like to initiate negotiations with identified landowners of 5 properties to be concluded. Because you talk with private people, you need to negotiate price, you need to negotiate the size of the land we want. Those negotiations have taken place and they have been concluded. That's why it is green. On the marine, of course, the committee has been asking, why not kilometers? We have explained that you need to follow a process before you proclaim an MPA. What we did, we said we're going to do in that quarter was to articulate our position for the MPAs intended to be developed, because we're working here with the Mother Department and other stakeholders. We also said we want to give an input in the finalization of the Tsitsikamma MPA regulations. We did exactly that for those two areas. As a result, you'll see when we come for the third quarter, there's been a lot of improvement, even for the Tsitsikamma MPA. We also said, which is a new indicator, we want to look at the state of biodiversity rating of our national parks. We wanted to establish a baseline to say, what is the state of parks in terms of biodiversity? And then we said for the second quarter, we want to do an assessment of 10 parks. Those you must assess before you understand the state of biodiversity. Of course, we've done that. We've assessed the 10 national parks. We've completed that work. Now for 10 parks, we know what is the state of biodiversity. There's a system of monitoring and tracking performance of national parks, which is led by another department. To us, it's a new indicator because we are being assessed every second year. But this year, we have been assessed last year. We are doing what we call corrective measures. Therefore, we're busy now implementing all those identified corrective measures that were identified during the audit. Also, in the same strategic objective, there's an issue around state of area integrity. You need to assess if your parks are safe, because beside conserving biodiversity, crime is rife in our national parks, whether it's about on our roads, on our tourism facilities. As you even know, next door in the Table Mountain National Park, there are issues of crime which somehow are falling outside the mandate of the police. Therefore, we have to do those ourselves. Therefore, we had to assess the state of area integrity. We have undertaken this in 18 national parks, and we have a consolidated report telling us that this is the state of area integrity. Therefore, moving forward, we need to make interventions to deal with that. There's an issue around water use and fossil fuels. We need to set an example of sandbox whereby perhaps we operate off the grid, we do water audit, we save our water. Therefore, we have to determine what are the baselines, how much water are we using, how much fossil fuel energy consumption is taking place in national parks. Therefore, we have assessed the status. Therefore, we have identified parks for energy consumption. That determination has been done. Our next step is to say, what do we implement in order to perhaps reduce our footprint, even on water and energy. Land rehabilitation, we are the implementing agent here of government. Monies are transferred to sandbox to do landscape rehabilitation. You can see there's an initial rehabilitation, you also do a follow-up. We did well than planned. Even due to drought conditions, we have moved faster, especially in Kruger National Park, in terms of the hectares that we have targeted. But on the wetlands, we can still see that we are still yellow. It's an area we need to improve. This was due to the lag in terms of getting our funds from our shareholder, and also we haven't achieved this target, but we do have catch-up plans. When we come for the third quarter, you will see what we've done on those catch-up plans. We agreed to do plans for the two national parks because periodically the plans must be improved. We said for the second quarter, we'll do lower level plans for the Karoo National Park and Mokala. Those have been completed. Therefore, when we come and report, by the end of the year, we want to have fully fledged a review of those plans. We also said we want to see a percentage reduction in record dead fatalities of rhinos and elephants, both as a ratio of recorded number of poaching activities in the Kruger National Park. The reason we came with this, last year we were battling with the AG, even with Parliament, in terms of how do we measure this? How do you measure successes? It is clear that poachers are mobilizing themselves outside the parks. The insurgents are increasing. In order to measure ourselves, we need to say the poacher activity is a ratio of the killing. Let us look at that. In that way, we'll see that we're making impact. As you can see there, that we wanted a 1% reduction year on year, but we've achieved 13.9% reduction year on year. When we present on our wildlife crime strategy, we will clarify and unpack this area of work. We do have other parks that are having rhinos, because South Africans think that only Kruger. We have about 6 parks, rhino parks, like your Mapungubwe, Mokala, and others. We said 0 killings. It does not mean poachers are not going there to try and look for poachers. I think size matters here. The smaller your area, the better you can protect. because the size of Kruger and the Kruger bordering two countries, it's not easy to line up a ranger for every meter to produce, to stop poachers. Therefore, we have a zero tolerance in our other national parks, but we are continuing to survey, detect, in order to make sure that there are no killings. We have a rhino management strategy that we must implement. In that strategy, there are indicators and interventions. We are continuing implementing element of that strategy, whether it's biological control, whether you movement of animals, whether it's awareness, whether you look at issues of enforcement. We are implementing the strategy as it is. There's an issue of fines that we issue to poachers. We want to see increase. But the question is, more fines are an indication that South Africans understand what crime better, or you want less. Therefore, for us, it's a catch-22. But for now, we are looking at the number of operations we do and at the number of fines that we are issuing. There's an issue around when do we worry about what we call extinction levels. Therefore, in this area, without being alarmists, we want to set thresholds to say once the numbers of some key identified species reach this level, now we are at a tipping point. You must start becoming very, very, very worried. Therefore, we said we want to have a threshold for rhinos, a threshold for elephants, a threshold for cycads, and for the penguins. People say, what about other species? You can't be all over. Therefore, you have to be selective in your strategy. It does not mean when you do patrols and enforcement interventions, you ignore other species. These are the species of special concern. In doing so, you need to collect enough data in order to say, how many I have now? What am I willing to lose over the period? When do we become worried? Therefore, we've collected the data to inform these threshold for our species. Because we have to develop some methodologies that are proven nationally, even globally, that this methodology you are using, it can lead you to a threshold. We do have a wildlife utilization strategy. We're a bit slow in this area because when people think of wildlife, they think of animals because there's blood that evoke emotions. But wildlife, also plants are part of wildlife. We had to set parameters. For now, what we're talking about in sandparks, when we talk about this strategy, we mean mammals. We've been going to birds, to other species, because it's becoming too big. Therefore, we set that parameter. We consulted internally. Therefore, by the time we come back here, that area, I hope so, will be green, because we've done our consultation. Yeah, both of them will be green, those areas, because for the second quarter we're busy doing our consultation. Research. If you remember, members, on the mission we said we want to generate knowledge. Scientists, they have a tendency of doing what we call pet projects, or sometimes they will call blue sky science, a science that might not be relevant to the challenges of sandparks or challenge of the country. Therefore, we're saying we'll do research projects relevant to sandparks key issues. We cannot say to scientists, go and spend more time researching butterflies, while we know they are not relevant. But if butterflies are keystone species, we'll do work on them. But for now, they've identified those projects. Therefore, again, you see a green year because we achieved 79.8% of projects in quarter two that are rated essential or important for sandparks. Peer reviewing of sandparks research publications, our work must be peer reviewed so that there can be some credibility and verifiability of the work we do. Those, eight of those were done. Under tourism occupancy, we said this year we want to see 11% growth. It's one thing that we need to change, honorable members, that we must also report in percentages. That 620 million is an achievement for the quarter. We need to convert to a percentage. I think we've been cautioned by the Mata Department to look at that. The actual is 641, which is a 3.3% above the target. Visitor numbers to the parks, we want to see an increase there. You can see we've achieved above target. Local black visitors, as mentioned by the board member here, again, we see an improvement there because it's a target that we nearly dropped last year because the AG was saying, how do we verify between black and white? It's a difficult one, but we are saying here, we are going to do observations because people are refusing to say when they fill a form, when they're in the lot, to say, I'm black or I'm white. They just say I'm South African or I'm a foreigner. Therefore, with that, we're doing observations. We have agreed with AG on that approach. Overnight black visitors, again, we see an increase there. Our occupancies, you can see we see an increase here. Unit night sold, we see an increase here. Customer satisfaction index, again, we do survey because we want to get feedback. But the question is, why in this economic climate are we seeing a trend of improvement? Perhaps our parks are for the public good and private good. Perhaps our pricing strategy is better. Our pricing strategy is accommodating South Africans because 70% of visitors to our national parks are South Africans. In terms of revenue generation products, we targeted two, our Skukuza Spa and our Golden Gate Spiritual Weekend. We did that one, well received, but the Skukuza Spa is on track now. We'll get it on board before the end of the year. And also the ease of interpretation of our national parks, implementing those plans. We are doing well there because we have plans for visitor management, especially for Tankwa Karoo, and also interpretation plans completed for the other five national parks. Equivalent jobs, this is a similar issue around the cash flow that we experience with our mother department and in terms of approval of business plans. Again, we're improving on that one. And also the issue of socio-economic strategy completed. You can see they were yellow. But when we come back to present on that strategy, you'll see some improvement. On SMMEs, we are green, we're doing well. Under the blue economy, we only managed to achieve less than we planned, but in our consultation process with communities, we have identified some challenges because of prolonged and protracted negotiations with communities, because you need the buy-in so that those projects don't fail. In terms of legacy projects, science labs, we're doing well. We have already now, as EXCO, identified where we want to build these science labs this coming year. I mean, this year we're reporting. We have also want to name them now Rhino Labs because we want South Africans to link whatever's coming out of the parks to the rhinos. We want them to see appreciating the work done under this species. In terms of another education, you can see our figure there is cumulative, is green. Free access during National Parks Week, We do that national parks in every September month, where we open our parks free to South Africans. You can see we have improved. We talk of 62,000 people visited our parks that week. In terms of the media, we've been seeing positive reporting around SANParks until further notice. For now, I think the media is still following us. Of course, we are fine with that. We are responding to the media issues. We are also being proactive in terms of what we bring to the fore. This area, you will see, it has been red since we started, honourable members, around employees from designated groups. But next time in the third quarter, we'll split this because it doesn't fit in one box. Because we are talking of three things there, if not four. There's an issue about blacks as a percentage of management. We wanted 50%. 60%. We are now at 55. I can't see now. Apologies. Let me use this. We are at 56%. And then women, we said 40. We are at 37%. I must say this, honourable members. We appointed a PhD to lead our science. He stayed with us for 2 weeks. She resigned. She said she got an offer. No bad blood. I had lunch with her last week. She's still fine with us, but she said she got an offer from the UNDP. Therefore, again, now we're on the hunt for a candidate. Another one was also a senior executive in our organization, also resigned. Therefore, there's this volatility in this area, but we'll keep on trying to look at this. In terms of persons with disabilities, you will see a big change next quarter. We are on the hand, we have recruited. It will be slightly different. Male to female ratio, again, we are doing well there. But at the end of the day, we are creating awareness about who we are as SANParks amongst the potential employees of SANParks. Even people declaring their disability from same staff we have employed. Some people might have not declared that I'm disabled. They were saying, come forward and declare yourself, you are safe. The issue of employees meeting requirements, in the next quarter you'll see an amendment on this thing. Because I think the target of 95% was too ambitious. Because in order to improve people, you need a minimum of 3 years if you want to take those people through university, FET colleges, and other institutions of learning. Therefore, we have amended that. The issue of the payroll system, I think COO can explain that on the question time. We had a challenge in terms of interacting with the skilled talent program and also talking to the sitters. Staff turnover, we're doing well there. Vacancy rate, you can see is yellow. Need to improve on that. CCMA cases, you can see members, we have a success rate of 94.4%. Because when transitions or grievances are handled, you need to see a process of fairness, both for the organization and also for the employees. Average sick leave, you can see we're still yellow there. We do have a very robust wellness program that we're implementing in SANParks. And also the issue of disability injury frequency rate, we're doing well there in this area. Business processes reviewed, we are having mapping processes because we want to automate we want to go paperless moving forward as SANParks. And also our ICT strategy, we are busy implementing that. I must declare here that AG has flagged this issue for SANParks, that we must look at our ICT strategy. Therefore, we are implementing those findings from the AG. AG audit report, unqualified. Those were good news. We even received a trophy for the last year at SANParks. Compliance from AG. Compliance with governance requirements, we are complying 100%. Even the DG can confirm that we submit reports on time, even documents to Parliament are on time. We are complying, hence we are 100% there. But the DI is looking at us with a true eye of a needle on this one. The issue of legal opinions. We do come across a lot of litigation as an organization. At times you must get an opinion on that issue or you deal with it directly. Therefore, there we didn't do well because they need time. We deal with complex issues in SANParks because we deal with enforcement, we deal with marine, we deal with hotels, accommodation, borderline issues. Therefore, to get opinions is not easy because sometimes you must get professional advice to do that. Litigation matters, we deal with them as we come across. Income to cost ratio, we are doing well there. Our expenditure variance, we have an over expenditure, and then I think the board member looked at this thing. We are looking at, it might sound negative, we even considered moratorium on more recruitments. We are trying to cut on overtime, but there's an impact in terms of wildlife crime, because our rangers, when they pursue a poacher, you can't say now, my time is up, bye-bye to a poacher. You must continue until you arrest the person. Therefore, it's an issue that we need to deal with. HR costs, we need to cap him on that one. On revenue generated, there's an improvement there. Average number of debtors collection, we chase people to pay us. We collect our money. There you can see within 11 days. But there are issues where we go on arbitration, where people are not paying us, especially our concessionaires. Our creditors, we even remind them that please send us an invoice, because some forget, unless we can encourage them to write it off. Therefore, our books will look better. In terms of fundraising, we are not doing well there. We do have a strategy, but we need money in our bank account in terms of fundraising. But I think because of the economic climate, no philanthropists are coming forward easily on that. In this area, honorable members, I will hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials. Thank you very much. You want to come here? I can't see. What is there? I hope you can see.
Fine.
Okay.
No, thanks, CEO, for what you see.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, thank you very much. Just a brief overview of the financial performance of SANParks for the second quarter and the 30th of September. 2016. When one looks at the financial position, statement of financial position, we will see clearly that the current asset ratio, which means to say the current asset when compared to current liability, the current asset sits at around 935 million and the current liability sits around 793 million, which indicates that in terms of liquidity, we are still okay. We don't have a liquidity challenge immediately to cover our monthly operating expenses. So from that perspective, possible remedies that we could look at to try and reduce that liability. This is an embedded legal liability that is due to employees at the site and employees in service. So, honorable members, we are in progress on the matter. We expect to receive the first report on 21st Century tomorrow, and hopefully there are some recommendations that we will be able to consider as ECCO and take it to the board for further consideration. Apart from that, at the balance sheet level, Sampark is in a pretty stable position. Now, in terms of income and expenditure, we are fast making the CEO catch up to the government as well. In terms of income and expenditure, I'm pleased to report that in terms of the various revenue streams, such as, for example, tourism income, income from trading activities such as our retail stores and petrol stations, etc., we are in fact slightly ahead of budget, which simply means that the challenges of the depressed tourism income of the past have been improving steadily, and we attribute a large portion of that in terms of the lifting of the visa regulations for our foreign guests. And then in terms of expenditure, the only area of concern currently are the HR costs. The CEO has expanded on that quite a lot. I'm not going to go into much detail. It's safe to say that it is an immediate focus area of ECCO and the board. However, the remedial actions we will take does not show immediate positive impacts, but rather over the next 3 months, 6 months a year, we will start to see the positive impacts. With that, Chairperson, I'd like to conclude my report to the portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Are there any additions from the team of Santa? No? Yes.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I think we would just want to at some stage ask for guidance on the quarter three reporting. It has not been scheduled, so we would like to suggest that we combine it with the ATP presentation as the quarter three performance is the baseline for the annual performance plan. So we would just like to give an update on the quarter three because the picture, as the member of the board has indicated, is after quarter three looking substantially different from what you have heard here today.
Okay. I think that there are no further additions from the team. I think the CEO has covered as the accounting officer every aspect. Look, we would suggest from the chair that the question of the wildlife crime, we can discuss it. Afterwards, can we take clarification questions, comments, and inputs from the honourable members, and then we take it from there? Let me know the order yourself. In that order, 1, 2, 3, 4, honourable members. In that order, comments, questions, of clarity, etc. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Justin. I want to be repeating what the board has just said, which are the main concerns from the portfolio members. But I would like to raise some few questions, Chairperson, if the time permits. The first one, I would like to know from Sampark, what is your involvement, especially in the management of the parks under the provincial spheres of government? I'll quote one example, the Northwest Province. It's been on the news recently with the donation of high-value species. What is your involvement in that? And I would like to solicit your group in that regard. The second question, Chairperson, have you experienced any severe drought in your parks, in relation to your parks that you manage? As a result, you opted to cut some species within those parks. And how many and which stations were affected. The third question, have you considered using drones as one of the tools to prevent poaching in your parks? If not, why?
The fourth one, 6 to 3. And then there will be around a second fight.
Okay.
Yes, Honorable
Ross.
Can you just switch off your mic, Honorable Khalid?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Before I pose my question, I'd just like to express my disappointment in the attendance of the governing party yesterday. We've got a high-powered delegation here. It's quite frankly embarrassing. Embarrassing. So allow me to proceed, please. I have more than three questions. I have quite a few questions, but I'm going to go in parts of three. The first question is the total area of added to national parks. We told 1387 hectares. I'd like to know where in South Africa and at what cost. The next question, the total hectares of land rehabilitated. Again, we've got hectares. But where? Where is this land being rehabilitated? Which provinces and where? Then we go to the bottom of page, I don't see a number at the page, the percentage reduction in reported fatalities of rhinos and elephants, the target 2%, reportedly target 1%. I mean, I can't understand why such low targets. It doesn't make any sense. Where you achieve 13.9, how can you set yourself a 1% reduction? I fail to understand it. And then, following on, the increase in sandparks, the fines, 1,532 fines, total revenue, 915,000, which is absolutely nothing in the picture of things. So when I average that out, it's 597 rand a fine. Okay, yes, that might be in different time periods, but it seems pathetic figures.
Thank you. Limiting ourselves to three.
Thank you, Chair.
Let's just explain quickly that there are formal apologies that were tabled. I don't know whether you were there or not. The circumstances is beyond control of members. There's nothing that can be. So I would caution that we should not cast expressions on members. Honorable Dibana, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much. DVG, you talk about substance over impact. What actually causes staff to leave the organization in the past 2 quarters? The second question, what new things are doing in keeping staff at some time? And
again, to my
question, what
one is
program in the
Sandbox
implementing? Chair, I've got so many questions, but
let's talk. No, I'm speaking to three members, then there will be a second fight. I must be equal, fair. Over to you, Honorable Ed.
Thank you, Chair. I see not everybody has my question. But I've got one that hasn't been covered fully. I just want to know, I think Honourable Burden did touch on it, but I would like to know if you, I'll see the slide number, slide 10. The annual target is a 2% reduction year on year. In the poaching specifically, to regards to the Kruger National Park. Now, first of all, 13%, well done. Really, really, really well done. It's great. But I also have a bit of a concern, therefore my question. Would you say that a 1% target or your 2% annual target versus then your 1% for a quarter is a fair and proactive target hitting for your start, or you know, target hitting Don't you think that maybe in the next plan, whatever, we can use these as targets, or rather as a baseline? I don't know, maybe we'll get something else now with the next presentation, but it just seems a little bit, it's almost a bit, like it's too much of a too big a gap.
Okay. Yes, over to Shafak. I'll address my question in a second. Right. What do you see over and your team?
Thank you, honorable members, for the question. We will share amongst our colleagues in responding. Honorable Adebe, on the one of our involvement in other provinces, we are not involved, but what we do, we participate in the governance structures and contribute to the development of policies for the whole sector. There are about 10 or 12 working groups where we attend those relevant ones. And then most of those discussions will go to the HODs up to minister and MECs. Therefore, the one of Northwest on wildlife donations were not involved. But we as SANParks, we have a clear process and policy and oversight on whom we donate to. Soon, that's next week, you will see our call to South Africans to submit applications. We have a structure that will adjudicate those approvals, and then we take it from there. That's our process in SANParks. The issue of culling, yes, of course, we did do some culling. Firstly, I want to indicate that upfront, the board will approve the numbers of wildlife sales and reductions. Because you are doing for various reasons. You do for ecological reasons, you do for economic reasons, you also do to look at other forms of impact, and also to restock other areas that have not, that don't have enough that particular species. We did some culling of few hippos in Kruger. Rivers were dry. Now they will converge in one small pool. It becomes terrible for tourists to see that. I don't have the numbers. Perhaps when we come back, we can bring those numbers. We have them. You will have your other small game like warthogs. You know a warthog, the one with the tail up in the air when it runs. They breed like flies. They eat everything. We did some culling of those because, I mean, they can destroy the field. Therefore, again, we can bring those numbers. But the main ones, which are mega animals, were the hippos because of the dry rivers in the Kruger National Park. Because if you don't do that, they get out of the park. They start destroying community fields. Yes?
Mukala Marakele has seen unusual droughts. The drought in Kruger was actually worse than the one that was experienced in 1992, which is the last big drought that we have. We have, however, received substantial rain in all the parks, and we do consider the drought no longer being in place. But in some areas, a restoration of natural salt conditions will take up to 5 years because it was a record drought that we have.
On the drones, Honorable Adebe, we have considered the use of drones. But the way they were viewed, as if they are a panacea to the problem. we still believe they are not. But what we did, I think the general can add on this, was to do the testing. Our report now should be looked at by the minister, and I suppose that he will take it further. But for now, we tested them. We believe that they're not the solution everywhere, especially in the African bush. Because some of these technologies are coming from the Middle East, where there's desert. It's easy to pick up things. In the African bush, we need to see a difference between a human being, a shadow, a tree, and an animal. You need to be able to be clear of those to say drones are working. But of course, we tested them in the Kruger National Park. Honorable Ross, the where and at what costs? We do develop a plan every year to say these are the areas we would like to include in our national parks. We identify them. And that is informed by the underrepresentativity of that particular biome. You cannot buy savanna like the Kruger Bush. There's enough of it. But you have your fynbos, you have your grassland, you will have your thicket. Those are the underrepresented biomes that we want to add in the national park system. A target that has been agreed with the Department of Environmental Affairs. In this area, but at the same time, we are opportunistic in our approach because you can identify four farms. You go to those landowners, they refuse to sell. Therefore, when other land becomes available, Honorable Stand, therefore, we identified Mokala because of the thicket, Ado because of the element of fynbos, and also some areas around Namakwa area. But when we come back, we might not report exactly that because they might not be selling. The issue of the price, we are reporting negotiations here. Therefore, we can report once we've purchased. General Yoste will do the reduction percentage and also the issue of fines that are low. Honorable Kekana's question of staff turnover and what we do, why people leave, although it's also slightly the opposite with other races in sandparks. CEO will deal with that and also will touch on the wellness program. Honorable Daniel, I forgot the same name, that's why I was saying it loud.
Edwards.
Yes, what we learn, it becomes our next baseline. Even if we underachieve or achieve, or we look at it cumulatively. I must also state that the issue of crime is a moving target. You struggle to get experts to say, I will limit crime up to this point. Because criminals also plan. They have their own strategies. But their strategies are not written anyway. Ours, we must write and present them. So why are you doing ABC? Therefore, again, JJ, General Yoste, and Nick will look at that. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to my colleagues.
Thank you.
far the amounts are low, it's not in terms of rhinos. We'll never issue a fine for a rhino or an elephant or a cycad. We want that to go through a court process. So we are dealing here with the prescribed fines in terms of NEPA for the nature of the environmental crime that has been committed. So it might be something like that we found a snare, or we found somebody with a dog in the park or something like that, and that is why the fines are a lower income stream for that. In terms of the staff turnover, it's a historic thing. We actually have a very low staff turnover. In, as a matter of fact, you know, we are between two philosophies here, because there is a fear of stagnation because people don't leave, but on the other hand, it's also a very good indication that people are genuinely very happy and passionate about what they are doing. Most of the people that have left recently was because of retirement. We have a very high rate of people that have 30 and 40 years service within Sandbox. And that is also currently a hampering effect in terms of transformation. Because I don't have to expand on it, you can think somebody that has 30 and 40 years experience in the organization, what the demographic of those individuals are. So that is also why we are struggling with that. What are we doing to retain staff? I think, Honourable Member, we have a very high level of job satisfaction in Sandbox. People are happy, they're passionate about what they're doing. We have a very elaborate wellness program which includes both proactive and reactive. We have an employee assist program that extends to broader families. And we also have proactive elements like cultural events, sports events, HIV testing, weight management, all of those programs that we are rolling out everywhere in the country. And we also take a holistic approach to it. So we don't look at the individual, we look at the family when we do the wellness program. In terms of retaining, especially, I think one thing that has helped us a lot in this last year, although it had an impact on our HR expenditure, is the implementation of equal pay for work of equal value, which affected our A and B level staff, which is the lowest level staff in the organization, and where we have normalized salaries in order to be closer to the national norm in that regard. See, in terms of the statistics, I think we need to expand, and the general will add on that, on why was the target low. In the past, and that is the reason that was kicked out by the AG, we have only looked at the fatalities. There was an issue about that you cannot really prove whether this is a fatality as a result of poaching or of natural causes, and you can also not pinpoint exactly where it happened. So what we have done experimentally in this current financial year is to express it as a ratio. So we're basically measuring the poacher's success rate. And we wanted to decrease that success rate by 2%. So if you look at the graph, we have the number of attempts and the number of successes on two different axes. And we want to narrow the gap between those two elements. And you can do it in either one of two ways. You can either reduce the fatalities, or you can reduce the insurgents, and we are currently trying to do both of that. We have based that 2% target based on historic improvements at that point in time, and without taking into consideration the additional technology that we have employed this year. What we have now experienced on the ground is telling us what the additional effort has contributed to narrowing that gap. So our target, and this is coming out very strongly in the general and Mr. Funda's presentation, you will see that ambition is increased substantially because we now have a realistic benchmark to work on. So that's why that target was low, too.
Are you through? Are you done?
I think I've responded to all
okay,
my questions.
Okay, switch off your mic.
Can I suggest, Chairperson, in the interest of time, perhaps, General Houston, Mr. Fond, I will address some of the issues related to wildlife crime during their presentation.
So, your questions are not responded to, they will be responded to in a subsequent presentation.
There was a question on the total area of land rehabilitated by Honourable Ross. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, again, Sandbox is given an allocation to rehabilitate land under its control. So the land areas that have been rehabilitated are within the national park. And therefore, in not all the parks have got control of invasive species and other erosion control measures, which is what was reflected in the plan, according to CENTAP. And then lastly, again, just to contextualize that question around the areas that are added to the land parcel system of CENTAP, it is informed by one, we have a national expansion, protected area expansion strategy that is also aligned to what we call national biodiversity strategy assessment and action plan. So we have analyzed in the country which biomes, I think when we're reporting it, when we appeared before the committee last week, which biomes are underrepresented. And then in terms of our expansion plans, both the national parks and provincial parks, they need to address that underrepresentativity, acknowledging the dynamics of the cost of land and all of that. So we have different other forms which the DDG has also reported to of introduction to the park system. So that's is the context. Thank you very much.
Okay, from my side, I've got just two questions and one comment. In terms of what the CEO presented around reduction of their footprint, I did not hear him picking up question of alternative energy or efficient energy. We are just talking in terms of the water use and off-grid. But I don't hear you coming up in terms of green energy. That's the first thing that I want to describe. The second one is around the blue economy, the 0%. You have attempted to respond, but that for me is not plausible. In terms of saying as a reason, DIA is still in the process towards finalizing control access for communities on the NPA. So. And the other one was in relation to the wetlands. You are saying that one of the reasons why you are yellow there is due to lack of funds in terms of DIA. For me, that's a contentious issue. The last one is around CFO, the overtime because this is an incentive and this is a reward. What is going to be its implication in terms of fair labor relations? So those will be my questions, but overall I think the colleagues have covered. Thank you. Immediately after that, we'll then take the Major General on the wildlife crap. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Chair, if you look at the issue of energy, because for us it's a new area altogether. Mm-hmm. However, we have projects in Kruger National Park to start with, whereby we are looking at solar energy for about more than 2 camps. This is where a test case is starting, because in that it will be telling us how much alternative energy we are bringing into the national parks. That's one. We work on that one with the Department of Tourism. On this area of alternative energy, we are also looking even energy from the waste. Hence, I was saying, it's a new area altogether for us that we want to explore. In doing that, we are even trying to partner with private sector. I want to give one example of operating off the grid. We are saying the easier route for us is to guarantee what I will call purchase agreements in terms of renewable energy, solar, whereby the private sector, working with the communities, they will enter into a transaction to say, I want to put the plant outside the park. They deal with that. We as Sandparks come in and say, we guarantee that we'll buy energy from you. I'm talking about solar now. Mm-hmm. On the wind energy side, we have not started exploring that. But it's an opportunity also that we can look at. It's like a greenfield for us, chairperson and members. We want to bring in expertise. We don't have capital for this. Hence we're saying we need private sector to work with us. What we can only guarantee that we'll buy energy from you. Therefore, Chair, I think in future we'll learn more in this area and come with more clarity. But for us for this year, we wanted to do what I call baseline assessment. How much are we consuming of this type of energy? Chairperson, under the oceans, I hope I got the question correctly, but if I'm not, my colleagues will assist me. You just mentioned access. As from December, in the Tsetsekamma, you saw we said we were going to identify and comment in the DIA process of developing regulations. We added Tsetsekamma. Yes, indeed, we did exactly that. Now the area has been opened as from December. We're busy monitoring access. We're even monitoring offtake. Therefore, when we report in the next quarter, we'll come with more details. How many people are having access? How much are they taking out? How much are we monitoring? DG, do you want to address wetlands again?
Finish our questions after the generals, what do you want them now?
Yeah. After the general. Honourable Chair, we made an adjustment on the request of the Minister. I requested to just put in another memory stick. There were three things that she changed, and I'll cover that as I go. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable Chairperson, in the meantime, while they're sorting the memory stick out, let me just do a short briefing on the presentation that's coming ahead of us from the Board's perspective. We just want to talk about this. Can I go ahead, Honourable Chairperson? May I go ahead? Yeah, thank you.
Member, can you please, official, can you sort it out? You can exchange notes
later.
Thank you,
Honourable Chair. Insofar as our strategy is to combat the wildlife crime, within Sand Parks, last year we adopted a wildlife crime and corruption combating approach as opposed to the anti-poaching, which is the symptom of the crime. This ensures appropriate focus and guidance from the board and the exco level on this critical performance area. The hard work of the past few years has yielded good results inside the Kruger, as well as the
six... Let us explain to the member.
Mm-hmm.
The board member, Osman Fagi, is just giving an overview. We had a presentation from Mr. General, but in the document that we had, as well as presentation, the amendment is expected. So this is just an overview of the board. Briefly, thanks.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. The hard work over the past few years has yielded good results inside the Kruger, as well as the six other parks, as our CEO mentioned earlier. Our minister is expected to make an announcement of the 2016 statistics. We remain mindful of the fact that success is not victory, and that the real whole-of-society approach will be required over the next few critical years. In this Rhino campaign, we are ably assisted by the other state departments, especially SAPS and SADF, with whom joint operations are planned and executed from a mission area joint operations center in Skukuza. We benefit from good cooperation from Mozambique, our neighbor, and the adjacent private and provincial parks in South Africa, and with the cooperation of the communities surrounding our parks. In our beloved Kruger, where more than half of the rhinos in our country are located, the challenge of poaching is now met by a well-trained and equipped ranger service comprising of the Ranger Corps, the Air Wing, a canine unit, and special rangers. This same measures and means of deployment against elephants and other poaching. So, Chair, you can see the seriousness that we take this with. Appropriate technologies have been developed in the past few years and are now being utilized to give our rangers an advantage. Constant cooperation with industry and the CSIR is vital for the success of this wildlife crime, to fight the wildlife crime. To sustain this effort, Sandparks has launched professional and aggressive fundraising projects, but as we said earlier, it needs to be a lot more aggressive. Many of these in close cooperation with NGOs like Peace Parks Foundation and the Honorary Rangers. Our Honorary Rangers have really come to the fore in terms of fundraising, Honorable Chair. We remain mindful of the cardinal role of our Rangers, who make severe sacrifices as they provide the proverbial thin green line, whilst other long-term solutions such as demand reduction and community ownership are sought. A formal Ranger Wellness Plan has been implemented to take care of the spiritual, psychological, social and physical wellness of these committed men and women. Our CEO and Mr. Funda and General Yusuf will take us through some detail in our progress in the fight of the wildlife crime corruption. I just want to say, Honourable Chair, I'm sure the Portfolio Committee would be visiting or have visited Kruger and have sort of seen firsthand what our rangers go through. And it is pretty terrifying the kind of danger that they face almost daily with the poachers. So thank you very much, Honourable Members and Honourable Chair.
I can ascertain that members of the Portfolio Committee did visit the Kruger, and we are going to visit. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Chandron. You've got 15 minutes for your presentation and then 15 minutes for education and follow-up questions. And
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We'll make it as meaningful as possible since you've had the briefing also. The first point that we need to make, without taking it from a satellite view or to become too strategic about it, is that we still have a toxic combination of poverty that turns into greed when large syndicates are plundering our resources. The marketplaces remain the same, the demand has grown, the money in the business is more, and that is why poaching is just escalating. And we have validated numbers to prove this. It's not crying wolf, and as much as we accept that challenge, that is something that we have to account for, and it also speaks to what is realistic in terms of our the objectives that we set, knowing that we cannot forever say it'll take years. That years will have to come to a point, otherwise there will be no rhino left. Honourable Chair, many of you and most of you know the Kruger. We've got to be mindful of the size of Kruger, and also that we don't see Kruger as an island. When we talk Kruger, we talk to the east, our sister park, Limpopo National Park. We talk about the concessions in Mozambique that we hope will soon be part of the Transfrontier Conservation Area and private parks, and then of course I'm much spoken about communities. But whenever we have a solution here, we implement a solution, one is going to be mindful of this. And again, it's nothing new. It is just that many solutions, including drones, just not fit into the picture to be effective. We have taken from the department and from Sandparks initiative, without necessarily irritating other departments, to look at Kruger then and South Africa to analyze the security chain that is necessary, to understand the tasks. And this sounds elaborate, it sounds unnecessarily academic. We think we know 70 to 80% of combating wildlife crime and corruption. The rest is still to be learned, and it's very dynamic, it changes. That helps us to understand what capabilities is needed, and then who must do it. And without poking anybody or prescribing to another department, it helps us in the whole of government approach, and it has served us well. And we will continue doing this in a meaningful way, although this is now also in other national strategies the same approach. I think it's important that at this time of the year we confirm that 2 years ago our minister took our national strategy to a cabinet committee chaired by then the deputy president, and that it stands primarily on four legs. It evolves around, in the center, international collaboration, but on the left top, Honourable Chair, we've got to do anti-poaching. Us that do the anti-poaching realize it's not the answer. You won't win by just arresting poachers and chasing them around in the bush. We are very good, if I may say so, at the top right quadrant, the biological management. How do you maximize breeding? How do you do intelligent relocation? A lot of good things are happening there. And that pillar could offset some of the negative impact of poaching. In terms of long-term sustainability, specifically here, economic alternatives, sustainability, a lot of work has been done, but we all realize that this being the long-term solution, it requires a lot of work. And here it is more complicated because we're not actually the lead department. A lot of other departments will have to take the lead and help us achieve that. And then, Honourable Chair, we don't give up looking for game changers. There are things that we can do, breaking crime networks, doing technology, no miracles, no silver bullet, there are things we can do to change. Honourable Chair, we're still doing very well on the lower level, although we have improved on level 2 and 3 a little bit, and we're working closely with the other intelligence and security agencies to arrest kingpins, to take out those that lead the crime, those that pimp and affect the other people. And we cannot help but always put up this model. On the left, Honourable Members, those are the poachers, the thousands of them. We'll keep concentrating on them. On the right, those are the end users, the millions of them. But in the middle here lies the weak point. You cut the umbilical, you create space, you can make a strategic pause, you really have impact. And a lot more work must occur there. It's complicated work. It requires good intelligence and very good coordination, and that is across borders. This is just another look of Kruger, Honourable Chair. just to again explain that we don't want to sit in Kruger and wait for the burglar to come into the house. We have reached out to Mozambique with great success into the Limpopo National Park. That MLC is the Mozambique Lebombo concessions that we hope to have consolidated soon, and then the blue part are the private parks to the west of us, the green to the left, those are provincial parks with whom we work. And of course, in between there are communities that must become as part of the Lowveld Lebombo setup as we can make it happen in the years to come. We believe in alliances. Alliances has helped us so much. We cited just here the CSIR, the Peace Park Foundation, the South African Wildlife College. Those are obvious allies. There are other donors, there are other NGOs. And then at the bottom there, we've got to work in a strong alliance with all the participants in the national joint structures. Coming from various backgrounds, various cultures and various talent that they bring, it's up to us as leaders to make that more cohesive and work even closer together. I'm sorry that this doesn't look so elegant, Honorable Chair. This is just a photo of the Mission Area Joint Operations Center at Skukuza that some of you have seen, and to indicate the bulk of the force come from the South African National Park. A small SANDF contingent and then various South African police branches, and our work is to make that work as well. And there are other state departments as well that cooperate very closely within this Mission Area Joint Operations Center. We have a saying that says technology makes things possible, only people can make it happen. Sorry that we had to blur out some of them on here, when it's on a big screen. We have good area surveillance systems in place. This costs a lot of money. It will have an effect in terms of surveillance, early warning, detection and tracking. We've got to go there to a point where we have some initiative. We're also at night, we want to hear on the poachers. It creates safety for our rangers, it also creates safety for the poachers, that there's a far less risk of fatalities and a far better chance of timely arrest. Likewise, in our headquarters, we don't have, like in an army or a police force, people that can fill a room like this. You've got to rely on intelligence systems, and they are available these days, and they're homegrown, and we do it via our CSIR. The office that we now have in Pretoria, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, those are roughly the things that we look at. Those were the guidance of the CE when we uplift this to wildlife crime and corruption combating. Not only poaching, not only roundup poaching, yes, predominantly so. And inside there you'll see an extended investigative capacity. How do we help the police? Spoken about alliances. Mozambique will always be a key partner. Not that the other countries in Zimbabwe is not. The meaningful technologies, social media, and then resource mobilization. This is a good cause. There are people that are prepared to give money for it. If we have valid projects, if they can see that they get value for money. So part of this is doing just that. Chief Ranger Funda, I'll just run over since we don't have time, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Honorable Chair, we have chosen our battlefields. We know where it hurts. We know our crown jewels. In the south of that park there, at three quarters of South Africa's of the park's rhino grazes. In that yellow area, a third of the world's rhino are to be found. And that is why we proclaim that the intensive protection zone. And as much as we stick to our strategy to clear the park from the outside, starting in the end user country, working with the range states, international networks, then your neighbor, then your neighboring communities. In the middle, we have a joint protection zone working closely with our Mozambique partners and private parks on a very formalized and effective base. And in the north, the bilateral agreement between the countries that allow us to work closely together with the Limpopo National Park. We must always, once we've spoken all the strategy, come down to what is necessary on the ground. We've referred to the air wing, the canines. We operate 49 canines now. We have our own little canine center, and we have rangers that are well trained for the task. This, honorable member, to your question earlier about numbers, it took us 3 years to build this capacity. And last year was the first year that we could roll out 70% of it. And by the end of this year, we will be rolled out, not because we're sitting on our hands. It's complex here and there. And yes, we make mistakes, unfortunately, also. unfortunately, the rest of Africa can learn from our mistakes. And as was instructed, our provinces specifically. We're on listing of stats, Honorable Chair, I'll just page through it because it says nothing you don't know. It shows a decline when we reported to you in August. Minister's prerogative, Minister will report, we think, in the next 2 weeks. Less rhino poached, sorry, more firearms recovered, more arrests. Poacher activity is still on an increase. You cannot believe it. You arrest them. We have arrested the past 4 years almost 1,000 poachers inside the park and taken over 300 weapons, and you still cannot believe. But the money is there. The pool is there. The demand is there. An important graph, Honourable Chair, up to August, bottom is the poacher effectiveness and the top is the poacher effort. And through the work done by Kruger, by Chief Ranger and Nicholas Funda and his people, well supported by our leadership, by our board, by our political leadership, at least one could say for I know. We know we must improve this, and we sense here also that we need specific targets and objectives, which we must now perform according to, since we have the support and we have been given the means to find it. We are mindful when we say this, Honourable Chair, like was said by the board member, this is not victory. There are tough times here. It's not going away. The simple demand and supply and the money involved tells you that. But one has confidence that the successes that we have, if we keep building them, one will get to a point where this is normalized. Right now, it's only stabilized. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Sorry, Chief Ranger Funda, that I just somewhat rambled on here. Yeah. But we're within our time, Honorable Chair.
No, I feel that I know the military of the time. The position is the permission to open. Thank you very much, Mr. General, for the presentation. Yeah, over to you, colleagues. Comments, questions? Let me take in a different order. Edward? Okay. Honorable Kruger, and you will be the last honorable party. In that order.
Thank you, James. As long as I'm not done, so pardon me if I don't make 100% sense. We know what we read and research, we don't know the ins and outs, so. Thank you very much for the presentation. It made quite a few things a little bit more clear for me, especially at this time. And I also think, even if I'm not allowed to, there's a little bit out. So, I would like to know, especially on that slide with the campaigns, etc., etc. I know, especially when the rhino poaching started, not started, but when it became really massive and the whole world started reacting to it. Everybody, Jackie Chan, that guy from Virgin, I can't remember his name, all the famous guys started this campaign. Wouldn't it help in South Africa specific, seeing that we're kind of the main supplier, if I can put it that way? Brutal, but yeah. If we don't do something like an aggressive campaign or a proactive campaign, I don't mean aggressive in a negative way, because the feeling that I get is that people are misinformed and there's a perception amongst the public specifically. And then you can also manage it in a sense. So I don't want to say like against the stats, how ministers control me because people getting higher in the way to say, I understand that. But I just think if you get more way, I don't know, it might be, but sure. Okay, so then, okay, I've got basically three questions, but if I have a scenario, if you catch a poacher in the Kruger, for example, and you catch them red-handed, and there's three or four people, and what is the process? Do you take them, do the rangers arrest them? Do the police have to come? Do they then go to the cells, the holding, or how does the process specifically work? I don't know if it's a stupid question, I just want to know, maybe they've started or haven't started, do you
get a vet in, just the basic to understand the on the ground procedure. And then, are there any kind of loopholes or I don't really know what the word is, but like sort of how they can get loose if they're caught red-handed, for example. And then the last one is, so you said that, and it's true, it's actually frightening. We had it especially at COP last year as well. The demand is increasing, but the demand comes from the east. They want the horn. We have the rhino. So it's silly to say, you know, we must manage it because we don't use the horn. Culturally, religiously, whatever, it's not here. Is there any way that you can manage that effectively without trying to go the route of managing the demand? That doesn't make sense. Because a lot of people say, well, South Africa is our job because we need to manage the demand because the rhinos are here. But we don't use them. The demand is in the east. So what do? Go over there and tell them to stop believing in this crap. It's like telling any religion in South Africa to stop believing in their whatever. So, do you have control over it? And is there any way or direction we should go to manage?
Thank you, Honourable Edwards. Honourable Hood.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, this is an overlapping from the previous presentation and the general, because we were told about the rhino sustainability, the threshold determination, and that links in with the integrated approach from General Huerster. But the main question, is Kruger losing more rhino than it can breed? Because we've got this poaching, we've got obviously natural deaths, and given all these factors, are we breeding more than we are losing? That is a burning question. Now, General, if you can also, you said you're not the lead department, so I'm not clear if you could clarify who the lead department in fighting this is. And of course, somewhere in this presentation was fundraising, the struggle of raising funds. Are these fundraising efforts linked to certain projects? So that question is all linked. The other one on the presentation, this is not to General Lewis, there was the number of the visitors to the parks. I'd like to know the percentage, it was 70-something, I didn't quite catch it, of foreigners and South Africans, and are there different pricing structures for that? Another one was the SMMEs, I'm not sure of what they do, 613 SMMEs, what lineup work. And then the other one is linked again because we were told the expenditure, the budget variance, 320 million, that's on page 26 of the presentation. The 320 million for special projects, does that include, when we're talking special projects, does that include the IPZ? Because the intensive protection zone in the south, because this is going to cost a lot of money. So maybe someone can just clarify to this committee on that IPZ, the costs, whether it's linked to the projects, the overspending. And the last one to General Huerster that I have is, you said that you'd arrested over 1,000 people, but only on the graph it says 177. If you could just clarify that, maybe I didn't catch it, General.
Thank you. To you, Honourable
Thank you very much. I'll be very short in this time around. Thank you very much, Sheila, for this very exciting presentation. For me, it looks well, especially on the paper. But where it critically matters on the implementation side, it doesn't seem to correlate what is happening. I don't know, can you, through your chairperson, give us who are the stakeholders, the brain box behind the scenes in making this strategy to be implemented on the ground? Are these guys so secretive not to go around revealing the critical information of states of protecting our national assets? I would like to know, the stakeholders, are they so secretive? seems to me there is somewhere that where the information is leaked. Because you tell us that you have all this technology. You are able to detect even before the people get into the boundaries of the island. But how do they know the information that you got? I think it tells us. And the other thing is, through you, Chairperson, I would like to know who are the recent people that have been arrested, at the top management who have been arrested, especially during the poaching of wildlife, not only the rhinos. That would assist the controller to see where they are weak points. The second question, Chairperson, are you going to extend the list of the sustainability threshold of other species in the next financial year? Not for you, General, for the CEO. Are you going to extend the list of the species to see the sustainability threshold as well? The other thing, Chairperson, which remains a concern to me, I don't know whether it's going to be affecting the sand parks. The Asians are acting to the game. Is that it again? I see that you are doing a research. Will you consider doing the research, especially on the high demand of donkey skins and hides? I know that China, especially in the Northwest and Northern Cape, there is a big hoo-ha about the Chinese wanting the hides as well as the skins of the donkeys. And it seems now they are depleting the species in those two provinces. And in the news, I've been listening this morning on my way to Parliament on the big issue. So I heard that you are doing a research. Will you consider doing a research on that to see the impact that you can have on the species in those two provinces? The last one, Chairperson, is actually a comment. The fact that the Sandpark is not meeting minimum educational requirements of the staff because they are spending only 4.5% of the total payroll on the skill development program of Sandpark. I think you need to give us a strategy. How are you going to improve on that so that there will be minimum educational requirements level met by all the complement of the staff? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Just from my side, just to one is a comment. I think we welcome the strategy to curb wildlife crime, especially rhino poaching. I've been saying for a long time as members of the portfolio committee that the strategy must serve before us, and we are happy to see it. What has been plaguing me as a member is the question of deterrence. When I raise it over and over, why are the poachers involved? Because I would expect with the kind of technology that we put in, they will retreat and know the consequences. But they are more involved. That's the first. Second, I commend the fact that the coaching will not be in the state, but in town. But what would be an acceptable number in concrete terms? For a percentage? Yeah, then. I think we've got about 8 minutes, then we get the next presentation. Over to you, CEO, and your team. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. Lord members for the question. I'll attempt some and I will guide in time. I'm going to leave my response, Honorable Chair, to also your comment about why poachers keep on trying. In your question, Honorable Edwards, you said this campaign, what is happening around awareness? The third issue around is about sensationalization of these claims. We want to cite one example, or some examples, where we feel the NGOs, the media, and some South Africans. They are talking too much about this. They are actually lacking themselves. Let me give you one example. If you say rhinos are going to be extinct tomorrow, the message you send the criminal, go and collect as much as you could. Mm-hmm. For that thing, they're going to disappear. That's one. If you say a price of a rhino horn in the black market is so much, mm-hmm. I'm a village boy, I'm listening. There's money in this place. Mm-hmm. People that grew up not seeing rhinos every day, but in that horn, I'm told that you face so much. It's a wrong message. You say there's good money there. You also say to the person listening there, people are telling his death, so many are killed. It's looking at rhino. How come this week 10 were killed? That was easy. A poor person, honorable chair, will take that risk. Because there's another message that we're not hearing that too. If you enter Kruger, you can be arrested. You can rot in jail. You might end up being killed. You don't hear those. It's like a taboo this side. But we talk about this nice one, which is like a recruitment campaign done by people say who are doing this in the name of transparency. That a search for team for us for $10 because we feel these messages are recruiting more people. Because if, for example, I'm working in the EPW project, me now, I'm in the cooker, here in the aliens, I'm paid R1,000 a month. I see these rhinos, but I'm told that that horn is so much. I will stop this project. Although I'm employed, I will leave it. Even in my full employ of government, I'm earning so much. There's quick money. Therefore, this campaign, the Oral Regulars, we must be careful about the messages that are going out there. For us, the center is so difficult to control that. JJ will talk or Nick on the process of arresting people. Honorable Ross, I will lose more than you can bring. My answer is no. My no is not based on Kruger. It's based on what you call metapopulation approach. We said we are taking rhinos from the hotspots to safer destinations. That's why we're translocating rhinos from Kruger to those parts that we feel that safe, to the private people where we feel that do a good job. Before we deliver a rhino, we do what we call a risk assessment. Recently, we have checked in all the areas where we deliver rhinos. We feel that they are still safe in private hands. Therefore, we want them to breed. Now we move them from hotspot, danger area, in Kruger, to safer destinations. Therefore, when we count, let us not count Kruger only. Let's count those that are brought to babies. Therefore, we need to balance that because we talk about the whole country. Yes, Kruger is affected. Therefore, for now, hence we're saying, the threshold, what does it mean? The methodology I spoke about, just in that methodology, we should be including those we deliver in private sector. To say, those are our animals, by the way. Therefore, when it comes to that threshold, we should be looking at all of those. The leading of the campaign, JJ, you need to respond to that. Who leads? Yes, we have many departments. If I may start, is to say the MACHOC Joint Operation Mission in Kruger is led by SAPS. There's also coordination which is done by the DDGs and DG in terms of the Priority Committee on Wildlife Crime. our mandate as sandbox is to make sure that the practices in fact we protect. But we're also saying we would like to see the cleaning of the park from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dilemma for us and our rangers, once you are inside the park, we can't talk to you. We must arrest you. You feel that there could be more campaigns outside, more intelligence work outside, so that we can pick up the people before they come into the park. The pricing structure, we don't have a differential pricing. We charge the same to all people. But we do have concessions inside our parks, which they cater at the upper end of the market, because they'll charge double the price what we're charging. Therefore, you have that. We also have for South Africans what we call the wild card for South Africans. You buy the wild card, therefore, you slightly pay less than the foreigners. Therefore, we split our fees. SMME, you come in CEO, and CFO will do the expenditure, and including special projects. All right, then you spoke about, I think you're saying, how do we clean the house inside? I will allow Nick and JJ to talk what we're doing. It was an embarrassment for us, but we're doing something. I'll allow them to talk to that, even about top management. I think the sustainability threshold on other species, we cannot go to other species. We must limit ourselves, because we're going to frustrate ourselves and everyone. That's why you must select what are the species of special concern. There are thousands and thousands of species. You are one who say, why don't look at the frogs? Because I know the frogs are disappearing because of breeding. Why don't you look at the this and that and that? It will be too many of those, but CEO can add on that. But we are reluctant to extend. We want to see impact on these identified ones. The pendulum might change to say, is there another species of special concern? We'll add in threshold. We don't want to be all over. However, we are dealing what we call an ecosystem approach. You must protect the parks, you must protect the ecosystems, other species will thrive from that. The research on donkeys, the bad news, won't enter the space of some parks. I think agriculture and SPCA must deal with those issues. We can't mention the honorable members. Minimum requirements will be done by the CEO. Deterrent, I addressed the honorable chair, and also the ESO session. I request the colleagues that will start from the top and also address those in the left hand.
Yes, we're going to wrap up in the next 4 minutes because we've got time constraints. But I think comprehensively the questions are responded to. Just those outstanding ones, can you please? So that there are no questions left unanswered. Thank you. I know it's Margaret is very impatient. It's time, okay? Over to your team, the CFO and your team.
Thank you, Chair. Very briefly, Chair, in terms of the lead department, I think we need to also add that part of the reason is in terms of the social well-being and addressing the poverty. So we do need to include the Department of Social Development, the Department of Rural Development in the solution side, in addressing the poverty issues immediately around us. In terms of the number of visitors, breaking them down, Chair, we do that in very detail in the report that we give to the board. I think we can, in future for information purposes, add that. You can understand that we cannot unpack each one of these indicators to that level of detail. after 30% foreign visitors, it's mostly to Kruger and to Table Mountain, and the two countries that is the most in terms of the visitors to Table Mountain is China and to Kruger is Germany. So I think that is kind of the competition, but you can break it down per park in detail as we do quarterly for the board in terms of that visitors. In terms of the conservation fees, regardless of a wild card, is lower for South Africans than for international visitors, but the accommodation fees are the same. The accommodation fee is set, but conservation fees, there is a differentiation. We also are very aware of the fact that our high-income parks are at such high occupancy levels, way above the 70% that we're reporting there, and are actually reaching saturation in those places, the four top parks that bring the most income into us. The sustainability threshold, I think that we are looking at three things when we look at it. We look at the status on site, in other words, what is the, not site, the regulated list, what is the critical endangerment of it, and then we also look at nationally, are we in control of a sufficient part of the population to make a difference. You will, for example, not see abalone there. And it is because less than 5% of the abalone population is within sand park control, while with penguins, 90% of the penguins are within our control. We also have ongoing programs around lions and wild dogs, and they are included in the plan for next year, but about monitoring, not about sustainability. We also have a factor that we look at in terms of the practicality. Pangolins is a good example. There is no way that you can do a real census in terms of what the pangolin numbers are. And therefore, we wouldn't include it in Southern India because we won't be able to measure it. So we don't include it because we can't measure. In terms of the skills development plan and whether it is linked to the minimum requirements, yes and no. It is linked to the very minimum percentage because the skills, the percentage spent on skills development is beyond tertiary education. It also includes, for example, the annual training that you need to do in occupational health and safety, the annual training in terms of labour relations, all of those things are included in the percentage. The only part that contributes is where it is bursaries for tertiary degrees. So we're talking there about 3-year degrees, in some instances even a postgraduate degree that is required for some of the provisions. So there is only a limited aspect that is linked between that. We are correcting the fact, you will see in the course 3 report is already substantially better. We had internal problems in terms of the engagement with CETA and getting the field development plan approved in time to release the funds for the rollout of the field development plan. That has now been corrected. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Just very briefly on the issue around overtime. It's not intended to eliminate overtime, but rather to bring it under control so that more resources could be allocated to the right areas of the business. In all businesses, we look at certain efficiencies going in, and this is of management and the thing that we need. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Media General?
If I may, Chair, four remarks.
We'll
then observe. The Honourable Member mentioned the proactive campaign. I think it's all over here. While we do all the diplomatic and political efforts that has done so well, we've got to now get into the realm of aggressive, progressive, professional social media and just get it into the market here. The crime scene management is very important. The final victory of poaching does not occur in the bush, it is in the court. So if you catch the poacher in the bush, there is a strict sequence of events that is adhered to according to the standard operational procedure to ultimately hand them over to the South African police and then to the prosecutor.
Thank you. It's only 1 minute.
Yes, I would say we can less than 1 minute. Just to confirm that we have never been at a better time than now when it comes to the integrated approach and the nature of collaboration among the sectors that are affected at this moment, especially in response to climate change. We've got all the sectors that are relevant working in a structured manner. There are five areas that are interrelated and are not dealt with as mutually exclusive, but they are mutually inclusive, which is the issue of enforcement, community empowerment, demand management, of course, that will deal with also the international collaboration, responsive legislation, and also the biological aspect. So all of these are interrelated and dealt with as matters that whichever sector is leading on a particular area, the other sector also benefits in the process.
I think the exercise is showing you with serious time constraints. The chief ranger wanted to say something, but I will not. It seldom comes to the portfolio committee, so I'll relent. I'll give you half a second.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted to answer the question from Honourable Khate about the more people that we have arrested. I use the word we have arrested. It's us, rangers, that we have arrested our own people. The highest person in terms of rank was the regional ranger, which was arrested on the 29th of July. Unfortunately, it was my birthday. That was the present for me. And what we have done to deal with that, firstly, is the message is clear. Irrespective of your rank, we will arrest. And it's us, SANPARKS, that are arresting, or we are arresting our own people. It's not police, it's not army, us.
Thank you, Chief Ranger. Thank you. I think we are behind schedule. It's going to affect our program. So we have got to suppress. Yeah, there should be a follow-up maybe outside the meeting. But we are extremely behind schedule because we are still going to Christenbosch. And it's going to affect the program. We're already plus minus 15 minutes behind schedule. We want to thank you, Sampa. CEO, keep up with the good work, but the follow-up will be made in the future. Yeah, members of the portfolio committee, they know the practice that if they are still not satisfied with questions, they can follow up in writing and then they get a response. Thank you very much, officials.
Okay.
there's none, yes. Thank you. Over to you.
Honourable Chair, members, first I'd like to tender a personal apology for the absence of my board. When the timetable was being sent out, I sent the wrong date to our chairman, and I discovered this only yesterday when I was confirming and coordinating the travel arrangements. So I must own that and take responsibility for that mistake. I did try to get some of our other board members to attend, but with the late notice, it was difficult for everybody to reschedule their diaries, and our chairman is with the KZN MSc for Education working on a program. So I want to own that and say I'm really sorry, and we do take the governance role of the oversight of the committee very seriously.
We will accept that for today, but it is still a practice that the board must be present, even if the chair is not a representative from the board. Thank you. Over to you. Bye.
So I'm going to try to make up for some of the lost time. Our first, and I'm going to go straight to the results as they stand. If we look at park operations for quarter two, we have one item under work in progress, 9 on target. The same feat, the same applies to the year to date. Transformation, 2 in work in progress, 3 on target. For year to date, it's 1 in progress, 4 on target. For commercialization, 1 work in progress, 6 on target. For the year to date, it's the same. And corporate governance, 1 in progress, 9 on target, and the same for the year to date. Overall, for the quarter, we've got 5 items under work in progress and 27 on target. And for the year to date, we're sitting at 4 work in progress and 28 on target. Moving along to the first objective, which is around conservation and park operations. We are on target for the number of park management meetings, environmental audits, follow-up of environmental audits and environmental monitors. I'm going to touch just on some of the highlights. One of the key issues in the park, of course, has been drought management. We have had some relief in the form of rain, which has at least obviated the need to truck in water. In terms of our environmental audits, these have focused on various of our activities, and the findings have been communicated and followed up. The follow-up audits, we've been struggling to get performance on some of the follow-up audits, and we've issued second notices. We have 30 environmental monitors who are deployed in the field, and they are augmenting the capacity gaps that we've experienced more recently. In terms of our land rehabilitation, the challenge there was the delay in funding, but I can report in the third quarter that we have more than made up for the time delays, and we're very much on target and on track. Number of kilometres of coastline cleared stands at 320. Our burning program has been slightly moderated with the recent rain. It's made for very, very green grass that doesn't burn very well. And so we've had some adjustments to that plan. Moving along to applications in the duck buffer zone, we've processed 2 applications. And we have also had to issue letters on 2 unauthorized developments in the quarter. The prior quarter unauthorized development, the Secret Lakes matter, that was successfully concluded in the courts in our favor. The latest update is that the unlawful occupiers have vacated, but they have not yet rehabilitated, so we will have to take action in that regard. Our maintenance program is on track for the year. Looking at transformation, which is our second objective, and that revolves around empowerment and improvement of livelihoods. We are below target on the number of jobs created for the quarter, but we are actually ahead for the year. This has been largely a timing issue around contracts coming on stream and so on. The number of training days, we are below target for the quarter and we are below target for the year. Again, a bit of a timing issue with the funding that we were due to receive. This has rectified in the third quarter. Number of people participating in SMME and skills development programs, we've revised that target because of an unanticipated funding source, and we are on track with that. Number of bursaries awarded, we're slightly ahead of the curve, and we're on the mark with our BE procurement. Moving on to tourism and commercial, we are ahead of our revenue target for the quarter and the year to date. We were behind target in terms of our visitor numbers. This figure has also corrected itself in the last quarter, and we're actually up on last year now. We've retendered all our lapsed concessions. We are progressing well against the development of the new tourism facilities. The Charters Creek construction has been tendered. The preliminary report in respect of 5 new sites has been completed, and the new activity licenses have been issued, and there's much more to report on this in the third quarter. We have implemented the number of events we said we were going to implement, and we have piloted an additional 2 that will now feature on our events calendar in the new year. Looking at the implementation of our PR program, that's proceeding successfully on track. If we look at the spend, we are generating 112 rands value of publicity for every rand that we spend on our marketing efforts. The infrastructure program is proceeding on track. The Mkhuzi facilities are in process. Eastern and Western Shores are nearing completion. And we have, in the second quarter, issued a tender for the remainder of the facilities in the park, which has now been awarded. Looking at our corporate governance picture, we are ahead of the curve in terms of research programs that relate to management. Again, we don't control the source of funding here, so we can only influence the agenda of researchers, and we've had a particularly positive outcome in the second quarter in this regard. In terms of effective monitoring systems for the park, our Lake St. Lucia system, monitoring system for Lake St. Lucia has been installed and it's live. We're now getting data real time in respect of the condition of the system. Number of marketing visitor surveys, we deferred the one survey just to make provision for certain shifts, unanticipated shifts in the market. That survey has now been completed, so we're on track with that item as well. And the environmental education plan is proceeding as planned. We've had 3,896 children through the school, children through the park by the second quarter. Implementation of plans to mitigate identified threats to rare endangered species and ecosystems. The big one for us is the St. Lucia estuary restoration. We are now guesstimating that by the time we've finished implementation, we will have removed in the order of 1.2 million cubic meters of dredge spoil with the additional funding that we've been able to secure. We are also working on an alien invasive management plan together with the department, and that is on track. The big plan that was required under percentage completion plans for this financial year was the IMP and the 3 estuarine management plans. Those were in draft form at the time and had been issued for comments. These are now with the Minister for approval. And our audit performance for the year, we received an unqualified audit. We are sitting at 100% in terms of our retention of staff, and we are we met the target as it was set in terms of the IT strategy. We have made progress on that in the third quarter as well. I'm just going to hand over to the CFO to look at the financials.
Our income exceeds the budget by 96.8 million for the period April through to September. This difference is due to differences in the basis of preparation of the budget, as in terms of the PFMA, we required to do the budget with a modified cash basis, and the financial statements presented here are according to the graph. Our other income decreased by 2.9 million due to lower recoveries of administration and related fees, which we recover from projects, and this is a result of the late funding. This has a knock-on effect on various other line items, for example personnel costs, which are 14% of our budget. This will eventually even out as the projects are implemented and concluded by the end of this financial year, March. Our expenditure is 12.4% below budget. This is largely a function of lower depreciation, which in turn is a function of delays in the completion of a roads contract, and the capitalization of these assets, as well as cost containment measures in other areas. These savings contain the effect of higher than anticipated professional fees, but this is a timing issue. The legal fees budget has been allocated on a straight line basis over the months, but the fees themselves are incurred as and when the matter reaches the High Court. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. See if we can switch off the microphone. There are only two, so there are no follow-ups. Over to the member for questions or comments on Kumangani's. Honorable Kitana, Honorable Clement, and Edward, in that order. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Can you speak to the mic, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. Please, the department, Chair, can you clarify how that party contract works in terms of temporary jobs? That's my question. And how do you ensure that those contractors are not abusing their workers by paying them less than normal? Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks. Over to you, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'd just like to know, we've got land rehabilitation, we've got burning, we've got coastline cleaning, and we've got other dredging spoil, a lot of dredging. Are these exempt from EIAs? I'm very interested in the dredging, where you actually place the spoil. The other one, the visitor entries, again, I'd just like to know the percentage of foreigners to local, if you could help us with that one. And the concern I have is the decrease in the in other income. There's not a very clear explanation, but maybe they could add a bit of light to that, why it is down. Thank you.
Thank you. From my side, we always don't expect yellow from Ms. Magalish, because Ms. Magalish is one of the entities that performing very well in Ms. Magalish. So whenever there's a yellow or a red, then laugh. Okay, that's the comment. On the yellow, the impact of the World Aid Comment, the relevance thereof in terms of the reason that you are in it. So that you just reconcile and make sense in terms of attributing that as a reason for partial retirement. That's the first one. The second one is the question of your delay, function of delay in completion of road contracts. What was its impact on service delivery? And also whether there were punitive measures taken against the contractor. The second one that you attribute to the delay, you mentioned the fact that the car registration certificate of the service provider and the tax certificate. Those issues are clear disqualification. Why then do you have to run after them for non-compliance? It's a non-compliance issue. Why are you not coming up strongly around those service providers? And then your expenditure is 12.4% below the budget. Is it a matter of poor planning, or what is it? Because your expenditure must be in line with the budget. Why is it below the budget? Because under expenditure and over expenditure are not acceptable. Because what will be the, my interest will be what is the implication for facility level? Are you over piloting so that you are below? What are you doing as a context then?
Sorry, Jay.
I thought you would read your point. Okay, it's vulnerable.
It basically links to one of your questions on the first yellow block. I just want to make sure, find out, quickly get some numbers. The year-to-date target was 7,500, which I rate the yellow block, etc. But the difference between the actual and the target is in 6,392. Will you be able to catch up? Will you catch up partially, etc., etc.?
Yes, you can respond to that.
Just starting with the third-party contract, we make it a contractual condition, the number of jobs that must be created and the number of SMMEs that must be used. And if those targets are not achieved, we then penalize the contractor. And we use that funding, or we use those penalties to generate the jobs, the shortfall in the jobs. In terms of monitoring what people are paid, these are all expanded public works programs, so those are the rates that apply, but we have a PLC, a project liaison committee for each project, and our staff are also represented on that committee, as are communities. So if there are issues with wage disparities and non-payments, those are addressed. The dredging question, it's not dredging per se. It's what happened historically in the park is the St. Lucia estuary was kept artificially open through a process of dredging, and a large amount of dredge spoil was deposited to obstruct the flow of the Umfolozi River into the estuary. It was thought, the thinking at the time was that silt was problematic for estuaries. We have conducted extensive research using money that was given to us by the World Bank and the Global Environment Facility to assess what's been going on in the estuary, because particularly in drought we have very high mortality, and there are big impacts not just on the livelihoods of communities, which are significant, but also on, for example, prawn fisheries and line fisheries up and down the coast. So there's a big economic impact when this estuary doesn't function properly. What was discovered was that silt is in fact not a damaging factor, and it's important for the benthos and all the other good things. So we have been in the process now of removing that dredge spoil and trying to rehabilitate the estuary back into its normal functioning. The whole process around the removal and the consultation process around the strategy and so on followed an EIA process, and the department was extensively involved in that with us. The land rehabilitation that we're doing is largely is around the removal of aliens, and coastline cleaning is effectively people walking up and down the beach with bags removing flotsam. I'm going to leap across to the land care question because they are related, and we have achieved our targets in the third quarter, so we are on track with that program. Visitor entries, we are 60% domestic, 40% international. And our domestic market is a very important source of visitors. I'm going to defer the question to decrease in other income to our CFO, but I will carry on with the remainder of the list. We've been listing a little bit with visitor numbers, possibly as a result of sort of economic climate and various other things. So the impact really of World AIDS Day is that it brought in a huge international contingent, and it was held in Durban. So for sort of July and August, the park was fully booked, largely as a consequence of international visitors. So it helped us manage that shortfall in visitors and make up the gap. Looking at the delays in completion of roads, it's not so much delays in completion of roads as a delay in the handover of the roads. We've been unhappy with the level of snagging, and there have been some issues that we've wanted the contractor to address, so we haven't taken handover. But in terms of service delivery and so on, it's been on track and fine. Where there have been delays occasioned by the contractor, we do apply penalties in terms of we use the FIDIC Red Book as our standard contract on those. The car registration and the tax certificate and why we don't treat them as disqualification criteria, this project is 100% local community SMMEs. So our philosophy and our approach is to support local SMMEs as far as we can, so we do go the extra mile and we try to help them. Having said that, we should have taken that into consideration and done better pre-planning so that we wouldn't have occasioned delays for that particular reason. And
okay,
I'm going
okay,
to...
Before the CFO responds, I think that explanation is acceptable because we didn't move from a primary to a SME. Still in budget, because it's the contractor, mm-hmm. That's why it's not more traditional acceptable. I think we accept the response. CFO?
Honourable Chair, in terms of the decrease in the other income, it was a result of our recoveries of admin and fees received. It's a percentage of expenditure with regards to the Working for Water and the Working for Wetlands project. Because we received the funding late, this affected the other income. So we normally receive about 7% of fees from the Working for Water and the Working for Wetlands, as well as about 3% fees with regards to administration. With regards to the expenditure of 12% below budget, Chair, the result of that was the capitalization of the roads, which affected the depreciation and there was a reduction with that. That should iron itself out by the end of March. Thank you.
from 12:30 in the year, so that the program for management at 13 hour sharp. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. one of these.
It'll be okay. We're just going to do this one to boom, I'll keep this one and then get the other one emailed and the other one we have on our thing.
And then we'll be able to write the report. I'm just going to put this in.
I'm thinking it's about to offer with me,
right?